Let's go ahead and get into the scripture this morning and get into this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may have been saying, well, what have you been talking about? What have you been talking about that people really need in their lives and they don't know that they need it and they think that these other things are going to provide in their lives? I will tell you what it is. It's peace. I find that very few people have peace. And I'm not talking about just those people outside the church. I'm talking about those people inside the church as well. So I would exhort you, as Paul has exhorted you, let us have peace with God. Now, peace with God first. No matter how you look at the needs of individuals, you will find that peace will come to the forefront. I was reading the stories of celebrities. Celebrities, because we think that celebrities have everything. They have fame, they have money, they have looks, they have possessions. And, you know, I was just, this morning, I was going online and I was looking at the jets and the yachts that are owned by some of these celebrities. How many millions of dollars these jets and yachts are worth. And I look at those individuals, and so I had also read how many celebrities out there have committed suicide. And when I read many of their, suicide notes, you know what they said? The common theme was, I'll be at peace now. What were they looking for? They were looking for peace. And what maybe they realized is you can't get it with money and looks and fame, because they had all of that. So they didn't know where to look, and therefore they didn't find it. They needed to have peace with God, and they didn't know it. So how do you have peace with God? Well, this verse we just read starts with a therefore. Therefore meaning that we're coming to a conclusion. Justification has precluded this conclusion. And faith identifies us with that price that has been paid for us. You know, it makes it part of us like a recipe. I brought that up last week. Faith becomes a part of us like a recipe. You mix the ingredients together, you can't separate them. Once we really have faith, it becomes a part of who we are. But then Paul says this, we are exhorted to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I would say, now just take my word for it, I can go through all the technical reasons, but take my word for it, a better translation would be there, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we already have peace with God if we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that you can attain. It's something that you have received only because God has given it to you through faith. He's given it to you. The faith has mixed into your life. It has made you become a part of who God is, in the sense of not becoming God. I don't want to say that, but it unites us with God in such a way that we have His justification. It gives us this right or this place in our lives that we have peace with God. God no longer is in conflict with us. We shouldn't be in conflict with God. And we find that to be true, as it was read just a minute ago in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, for He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility. There's a dividing hostility between us and God, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God and to one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. See, peace has been made between us and God. So, but this is an exhortation. It is an exhortation to have peace. Now, here's what I realize. Many people have that peace with God, but they are not exhibiting any peace in their lives. See, living at peace with God is experienced, not merely accomplished. It is an experience. You see, you can have something and you can live like you never had it. During my lifetime, there was a man who was probably one of the richest men in the world named Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes died in April of 1976. The man had billions of dollars. He was 6'4" tall and weighed 90 pounds. And the reason he weighed 90 pounds is because he was so afraid of germs, and he was living a reclusive life, and he was eating like he was less than homeless. Understand, he starved himself to death, and though he had millions and could have eaten any meal done by any chef in the world every day, he lived like he had no money at all when it came to his eating. You see, you can have something and you can live like you don't have it at all. We see, what we have is peace, but we can live like we don't have it. And our hearts are seeking peace. And when we think we're going to find that peace in physical pleasures, when we think that we're going to find that peace in possessions and in money, when we think that we're going to find that peace in awards and accolades or having bridges or hospitals named and airports named after us, we find that that type of peace that we're seeking is an insatiable peace. It never comes. And every time that we want what we think is going to give us that peace, when we have attained that, we always want more. So many celebrities have committed suicide when they realized that they weren't going to be able to either continue doing these things or that these things had really not provided them the peace that they were looking for. And so there were so many sports stars like a Junior Seau who would commit suicide. Prominent business people like Kate Spade who commit suicide. Actors like Robin Williams who committed suicide. Artists like Vincent van Gogh who committed suicide. Writers like Ernest Hemingway who committed suicide. Who ended it all when they realized they could not find peace and what they were doing, or it had been closed off to them to be able to do it anymore. So you really realize that peace cannot be attained this way, or your pursuit of peace in the way that you've been doing it is not attainable. So what does Paul mean when he says, let us have peace? There were several things. One, let us have peace with others. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all. This word is placed in a context of living with other people and having peace in this way. It includes things like blessing those who persecute you. It includes things like rejoicing with those who are rejoicing, weeping with those who weep, living in harmony, living humbly, honoring others, never take revenge, and doing good to those who set themselves up against you. It says all of those things for the purpose of what? So that you might have peace. Yesterday, I drove back from D.C. area, went to visit our youngest daughter, and came down yesterday. And you could imagine the traffic was horrible. And you know what it's like. You know, you've got people that are trying to get ahead a little bit. And you know, and so what do they do is when they come in, they try to get ahead of other people. They push ahead. And my wife and I are watching as cars coming in and is trying to merge into traffic, but it can't merge in. And there's a person in front of us that is going to stay about 3 microns away from the car in front of them so they won't let them in. You understand what I'm saying? They're driving. Can you imagine I'm really at peace right now. I'm driving 3 microns behind this other car at 60 miles an hour because I am not going to let that guy in. I mean, who's not having any peace? It's the person that is trying to keep the person out. Honestly. And I'm going, you know, and my wife said, why not just let them in, guys? I mean, they weren't trying to come in where we were. I said, why not just let them in? Because you know what they're going to do if you don't let them in? They're going to speed up and get ahead of you. You didn't gain anything out of this. Let people in. Get over it. If you want to live at peace, let go of this stuff. Let go of this stuff. See, the world thinks right now, I'm going to tell you one of the distressing things, that the world thinks that it can have peace through hatred. I have never seen hatred in our country like I see it right now. There are those who think they are so right in what they believe that they think they can hate others. They think that it is justifiable to hate somebody else because they don't believe like I believe. They think that they're right. And believe me, folks, I've heard it amongst Christians too. Don't tell me that's right out there in the world. I heard it amongst Christians too. In terms of how they can hate simply over some politician. And I go, oh, really? Really? Let me tell you what the Bible would say to us. There is no victory over a hated enemy until that enemy becomes a friend. That's what the Bible would tell us. And so that your goal over somebody is not to, I'm going to get the best of them. Your goal should be, I'm going to see if I can make this person a friend. That's what it really has to come down to. And you're not going to have any peace otherwise. And then there's this other thing that happens. They think that if I can dominate over these individuals, if I can bully these other individuals, I can have peace. Domination is disguised peace. Mutual concern is real peace. That's real peace. When I'm not only concerned about the things that I'm concerned about, but I'm also concerned about what you are concerned about. And what we are doing, folks, is we're not talking to each other. And we need to talk to each other instead of saying, I'm right, you're wrong, you are so wrong, and I hate you for it. And I'm right enough to be able to do it and justify. But those who claim to love God but hate others are liars, the scripture says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. See, I didn't tell you that you're a liar. This is what the Bible says. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And so that the holes in our lives that need to be filled with our relationship with God cannot be filled because we have placed ourselves in opposition to Him when we have placed ourselves in opposition to others. So we therefore must make peace with others so that we can have peace with God. There is no other way, folks. You must make peace with others. This is not about losing our salvation. This is a message that is telling you that we have a lack of experiencing peace. So what do? You forgive that person who seems impossible to forgive. You realize that. And you know how you have to forgive them? Not because you've got enough forgiveness in your bucket of forgiveness to forgive them. You forgive them by the blood of Jesus Christ. You realize that the sin that they have done against you was paid for with the same blood that your sins have been paid for. And you have to admit, I simply cannot forgive on my own. Not long before she died in 1988, in a moment of surprising candor on television, Margarita Lasky, one of our best-known secular humanists and novelists, said these words, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." You see, we need it, folks. So let us have peace with each other. There is a need for us to be at peace with each other, and forgiveness, both given and received, is necessary for peace. Proverbs 12:20 says, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy." That's where we have it. So, first, peace with each other. Second, let us have peace in trying times. Every one of us is going to go through some difficult times. Many of us, maybe even most of us, have brought into this room today something that is giving us either fits or is moments of anxiety with it, or it's a concern that we can do nothing about. I read this verse last week. I read this verse the week before that, but I'll read this verse again this week. In John 16:33, "I have said these things to you," Jesus is talking here, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation," a promise that you're going to have, "but take heart, I have overcome the world." Sometimes it seems to me that the world is against me. You ever had that happen to you? One thing happens, then another thing happens, then another thing happens. It seems to come out to get us. It seems that Murphy's Law is true. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and we start to take that into our way of living. We Christians often ignore the crisis when we're encouraging others. We act as if everything is always going to work out, and it doesn't always work out. We think that there is no peace unless it does work out. That's not real peace. Peace is when you're in the middle of the crisis, when it is not working out, and you still are at peace. Maybe that's why we have no sensible words to say to each other when some tragedy happens. I'll tell you something, folks. When somebody passes away, I'm about right here at hearing, "Well, God needed another angel." That does not help that person that lost their loved one. You think it helps, but it doesn't. It doesn't help them. Let me tell you what I believe, folks. Instead, I think it would be better to say to them, "I am here if you need me." Instead, I would say this to you. Sometimes the best thing you can do is give them a hug and cry with them. That's the best thing you can do. Because blaming it on God for taking them to become another angel isn't the way we need to go. So what do you do when you're the one in the crisis and in this? Well, I want you to follow this pattern of prayer. Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." First, I would say, pray with an attitude of who God is. That's what that first word for prayer actually means there. Pray with an attitude of who God is. He is the one who loves you. Do not ever go into prayer and say, "God, I think you hate me." No, he doesn't. He is the one who loves you. You need to say, "God, I know you love me." Say he's the one that has allowed this to happen in your life. I don't care what it is. He didn't make it happen, but he certainly could have stopped it from happening, and he allowed it to happen. So then he is going to also be the one who's going to walk with you through this thing. Pray with an attitude of who God is. Secondly, pray specifically. That's what that second word, that is prayer there. Tell him what you really want him to do. Tell him that you are ultimately seeking his will. Not yours, but his. So you seek his will. And then thank him in advance. Thank him for what you are sure of. What are you sure of? That he loves you. That he knows what to do. That he's going to walk with you through all of this. Do not thank him and say, well, God, I know that in the final end of this all thing, you're going to heal my baby, or you're going to save my job, or you're going to save my marriage, or that. You don't know that's what's going to happen. Thank him for advance for what you know that he's going to do. And you can know as a promise from him that he will bring about good even through the bad thing. And then unload your burden. That's why I wanted you to get that little card out of here, out there. Maybe you need to write down something on that card. See, you're not informing someone who doesn't know your crisis. You're admitting that you need his help when you go to him in prayer. And then let his peace come upon you. I was in seminary class one day. Dr. Oscar Thompson, who had had bone cancer and had gone into remission, he said, hey, class, you know, Saturday I was taking a shower. I was there in class, that's the way he said it. I was taking a shower, and you know, the water was on my head. It's just a little bit, sounded a little bit different, you know, because, you know, my head. So I went in to see my oncologist, and it appears my cancer's active. And we all stopped breathing. And he looked at us and he said, whoa, wait a minute. Guys, I gave my life to Jesus a long time ago. I didn't know he was going to take it this early in my life. But it's his. I'm at peace. You see that? He's at peace. Now, how do you get there? You unload that burden on God. He can take care of it. Then let us bring peace to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. See, here's the thing, folks. Why are we more likely to tell people why we're dissatisfied than why we're satisfied? I want you to hear, I'm going to change my life so that I'm going to tell what I am been satisfied with, what is going good in all of this, because the dissatisfaction really isn't doing the world any good. I want to tell them who Jesus Christ is so that they might have peace. Because the world really needs peace. And what we've been doing in all of our complaining is not bringing peace. It's sort of like years ago when they used bloodletting. They thought when you're sick, they did bloodletting. So they'd drain your blood. The quart was their normal amount that they started with. And you know what happened if you felt worse? They drained more blood. Think about it. It just got worse. You see, complaining makes things worse. So what do? We complain some more. And it's not going to make it better. Why don't we bring peace where there has not been peace? We don't need to be judges of other people. In fact, we're prohibited from being judges of other people. We can give them what the Word of God says, but we can't give them what the sentence of God is. Do you understand? We can't make the judgment. We can tell them what the Word of God is. So the question that we need to ask is, do you have real peace in your life? And the question that we need to bring about in other people's lives, can we bring peace into their lives? For here's what I have learned. Bringing peace to others brings peace to us. Why is that? Well, Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God.